I have two scriptures. This is something the Lord laid on my heart. My sister, Michelle, asked me if I would help her in this. The Lord was already speaking to me about some things. I was just amazed. And after I got through speaking with her, I began reading and seeking the Lord and praying for words to speak, and I couldn't get away from this subject. We've received a lot of good words this morning. It's now in the afternoon. But we can still receive more, because there's something that for us to do. So I would like for you to turn in the Bible to the book of Ezekiel, to the 22nd chapter of Ezekiel, to the 30th verse. And then I also have another scripture that I would like for you to turn to. And it's Daniel, the 9th chapter. If you can kind of put up a, old timers, you say put up a tent stake. Mark that place. First, I want Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. And Ezekiel in chapter 22 and verse 30 said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. And then I want to turn to Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. Daniel said, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And again, Father Lord, I just ask you, you've already blessed your word. Father, you said that your word would not go out and return void. But it accomplished that, Lord, that you mean for it to do. And, Lord, I know, God, that you've got a reason for this word. Father, let it find a resting place in our hearts. Lord, Father, that we'll take your word to our hearts and grow by it, Father, and know what we ought to do. And we'll give you the honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. I asked Sister Tanya if she would sing that song for me, Help Me. I need you, Lord, because we're living in a day and age when we need the Lord. And that's not to say that we've not needed him before now. But if there ever was a time, church, that we need a close connection with the Lord, I don't mean a passing acquaintance. I mean we need to be on more than just first name. We need to be on intimate basis with God. Because I don't know if you all pay attention to the news, or what they post on Facebook. You hear everything, you see everything, and we don't know. You never know the truth from the fiction. You don't know what's out there, but more and more I'm hearing that there's things that are in the works that are scary for the United States. I had been hearing where the Department of Homeland Security had been buying up ammunition. I thought, well, that's just a Tea Party thing. You know, come on. I'm as conservative as the next one, but, you know, this Tea Party sometimes gets a little out of control. But then I began to hear where senators were calling for an explanation because they knew about it. And they said, we want to know why you're buying this ammunition. We want to know what's going on here. We're living in a day and an age when we're in perilous times, if, as Paul told Timothy, if we ever were, we are now. And so what do you do in a day like this? What do you do in these days? We're not the first one to ever have to face these days. The Lord began to lay it on my heart again, and this seems like the theme that I've been hearing for the past year, not only me, but our pastor and our evangelist stuff, that we need to be standing in the gap and making up the hedge for our nation, not just our nation, but our family. Our places where we work, our churches. I'm looking at our churches and I'm seeing people fall out of church on the left hand and on the right hand. Many people divorcing Christians that you think have got solid foundation in the Lord, just throwing up their hands and says, I'm tired of the battle.
I don't want to have to do this anymore. And they're turning around and they're walking away from what they know God has called them to, and they think it's all right. Sister Michelle said that our motto or our theme for this was shaking the foundations. I thought, Lord, yes, we need our foundation shook. But the foundations we need to shake is getting back to the calling that God has called us to. He said that I sought for a man. Can I say a woman? Can I say somebody? Among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. And this is so sad. He said, but I found none. I think us in America, we are on shaky ground right now, church. And I don't know. They can tell us that we can just not accept it. We can just turn our back and say, no, God's going to, we're too many of us are crying out. Too many of us are praying. God's going to have mercy on the United States. But I'm going to tell you something. When I read in the Old Testament, and the Bible says the Old Testament is our schoolmaster. I read there's times when God says, yes, I've heard your prayer, and I'm going to spare you. I'm going to spare you. But judgment's coming, and it won't be delayed because there's been too much bloodshed. So we're in bad shape, church. We need to be getting in touch with God. He said, well, Sister Aaron, why are you saying we need to stand in the gap and make up the hedge? Because we need to be interceding for the lost souls that are in the United States right now. That may be our family. We are so easy to let them just slide by. They don't want to serve the Lord, Sister Tanya. We say, well, that's sad, but I've got to go on. That's not acceptable. My son and my daughter and my husband are both out of the Lord right now. All three of them. I am praying and interceding for them because I don't want them to be lost, and I don't believe we have much time. As I was reading over some scripture, I was listening to a minister, done dead and gone now, and he was preaching out of Daniel, and this wasn't the subject he was preaching about, but as he began to preach out of Daniel, I suddenly saw an outline. And my outline was this, that we need to seek God, but if we'll seek God, we shall find him. And I realized that Daniel had a situation he was living in with his countrymen. They were in captivity. They had been under judgment. And Daniel said, how long, O Lord, is this going to be? He said he set his face to begin. This is where chapter 9, verse 3 of Daniel. He said, I set my face because there was questions he wanted answers to. Church, have we not got questions that we want answers to right now for our nation? And he said, I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting. Hello? I know we just got through eating dinner. Delicious. Delicious. But we don't eat dinner all the time, right? He said, I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And he said, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. O God, the God that shows blessings to those that seek you, the God that shows blessings to those that keep your commandments. I don't know about you all, but we ain't been doing that in the United States. We live in the Bible Belt right now, church. That's when the last election came, everybody says, ain't Obama came. Now, don't want to get political here, but I do want to tell you what I'm thinking. They said, oh, Obama can't get in. Nobody's going to vote, right? Everybody I talk to, nobody's going to vote for Obama. And I said, I'm sorry to tell you all this, but we're in the Bible Belt, and nobody thinks like us. We're a different breed. Hello? We're so blessed, church. We're in the Bible Belt. We're covered with it. We're surrounded with it. We're raised up. We're steeped in it. Hopefully, we can't get away from it. Well, you know how the election went. And we got our blessed little president back in for another 4 years. We need to be praying. Because there's things in the works that he says he's going to bring into the United States that I don't care what we say, we're not going to stop him. Why? Because I believe it's that time. I believe it's that time. And we need to know as a church what we need to be doing. The thought that came to me is we need to be praying and fasting and seeking the face of God. Not only for ourselves, but for our families. For our workplace where we work. How, we're a light to those people. To the communities where we live. If we go to the grocery store, we need to be praying and fasting. And this is what the Lord laid on my heart. Psalms 27:8. This is something the Lord showed me years ago as a young Christian. I was down in the basement one time of my house praying, seeking the Lord. And he laid Psalms 27 on my heart. That's been my Psalms ever since. Psalms 27:8 says, and this is what the Lord said, when thou saidest, seek ye my face. My heart sent unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Church, the Lord is calling us to seek his face in this day and age. He's calling for a people that will be willing to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. How do we stand in the gap? How do we make up the hedge? By prayer. And can I say not just prayer, but by prayer and fasting? That seems to be a bad word anymore in church circles. And we have taken, and look at me, come on, guys. Look quick. Come on, guys. Nobody loves to eat as much as I do. I'm telling you, you don't. But there comes a time when we've got to realize that we need to push back that plate. The idea of fasting in today's church world has been so lost. Now we call Daniel fast. Now we fast computers. Now we fast our TV. But we don't fast our food. Every time I read about fasting in the Bible, they fasted their food, Sister Michelle. They pushed their plate back. I examined, I don't know how many historical documents that dealt with fasting. And never did I see where they fasted riding on their donkey, taking their donkey away. They had to walk everywhere. Come on. Every time they fasted without food and even without water. Now, how long did they fast? Well, now that's debatable. Some fasted for a meal. Some fasted for a day. Hello? How long did Daniel fast? 21 days, the Bible said. Now, let me read some more to you. It said Daniel 2 and 3, and he said, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. This is where we get our Daniel fast, but this is not biblical. I'll just tell you. He said, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Why was Daniel was down to business? He wanted to hear from God. Church, when was the last time, ladies, that we got so down to business with God that we lost our appetite? Hello? And we stuck with it. And am I saying that you've got to fast for 3 weeks? No! I'm not telling you that. And I'm telling you, though, that God will direct you. It may just be a meal. But we need to get back to the basics of our Christian calling and our Christian disciplines so that we can get a hold of God and spend time in prayer. He said, I set my face to seek the Lord with prayer and supplication, with fasting and sitting in ashes and sackcloth. That suggests to me that he spent time not pursuing doing the things that he loved to do, but he said, can I use the word sequestered? He sequestered himself. I found out that that isn't, when they were using it, evidently it didn't have the same meaning I thought it meant. He sequestered himself. And he began seeking the face of God because he says, I have got a burden for this. Have we got a burden for our nation, church? Have we got a burden for our church to call us back to what God wants us to walk in? Have we got a burden? And if we do have that burden, I believe it will motivate us to begin seeking the face of God once again. We need revival, church. We need to hear from God. Because I don't know, but the old ship of Zion seems to be going down. Now, I know the true church. I know, honey, we ain't going down, we're going up. But I'm telling you, we need to be seeking the face of God. Daniel prayed and fasted to hear from God. Let me turn here to Isaiah. I know I'm trying to be nice about some of this stuff. I really am, because I see some things sometimes that I'm just absolutely amazed at. In Isaiah's day, they had a question to God. They said, God, wherefore have we fasted? Say they, and thou seest not. He said, wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? He told me, he says, you act like a nation that loves to hear from God, that wants to seek my face. And they said, and they said, we're doing all this fasting and we're praying. They said, but we're not hearing from you, God. And he had a complaint against them. He said, behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasures and exact all your labors. Church, we need to hear from God. Sister Candy, we need to have some time that we set aside, that we say we're not watching the TV. We're not Facebooking today. Hello. We're not candy crushing. Anybody candy crushing here? Well, good. Don't ever start it, because I had to get delivered. We're not candy crushing, but we're taking our Bible and we're going to our room, our prayer closet. And we're praying, and we're reading, and we're seeking the face of God, because we got issues. We need to hear from you, Lord. God is calling for a people to once again do that. Jeremiah 29:13 told us, says, if you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. Hello? That's Jeremiah 29:13. It said, ye shall seek me and shall find me when ye search for me with all your heart. Isn't that what the word said, Sister Geneva? Church, we need to get back to these basic things. We need to spend time seeking the face of God. Daniel spent that time. Of course, we know it's a classic story that we tell. We preach about it. We teach about it all the time. How Daniel sought the Lord for 3 weeks solid, neither ate nor drank. And finally, he hears from God. The angel Gabriel is sent to him. And we know that the line that we hear all the time, he said, Gabriel, the very first day that you set your heart to seek God, he said, he heard your prayer. But he said, there was a warfare going on. Let me read to you. Chapter 10, 4 through 7. It said, in the 4th and the 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. And jumping down to verse 12 and 14, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Here was a message sent from God. I don't know if you all even stopped to think what that meant. Here, Daniel's eyes were open and he saw a vision of a man. I'm sad. In fact, the Bible said it scared Daniel so bad that he lost all strength and he went flat down to his face. So much so that an angel had to come and lay a hand on Daniel and give him strength and speak strength in him, because he said, I can't even hear your words, Lord, right now, because I have no strength in me. My point is, Daniel sought the Lord, and he held on with tenacity. You think that didn't take tenacity to fast for 3 weeks? Look, 3 hours and I'm shaking. Hello. He was one determined individual. individual. But he got the message. He got the answer that he needed to hear from God. Church, if we would set our face to begin to seek the Lord, I'm not telling you again that you've got to fast for 3 weeks. I'm not telling you that. Let the Lord lead you. But be honest in your attempt to get a hold of God. Get back to the basic principles of fasting and praying and interceding on the behalf of those you come in contact with to the needs that you're facing. And I'm telling you, God will answer. But we've got to get back to that, church. We've seen Daniel. We saw his cry. We saw the answer. And God gave him understanding for his times. Church, we need understanding for our times. I thought of in 1 Chronicles 12 and 32. This has always stuck with me. The Bible was speaking of the men that came to King David to help him in his time of need. Spoke of the children of Issachar. And it said they were men that had understanding of the times and to know what Israel ought to do. Church, that doesn't just have to describe that tribe, but you and me also. If we'll learn how to seek the Lord and wait upon him till the answer comes, we also, Sister Vicki, will know, have an understanding of the days, of the times, and what we ought to do. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times I say, Lord, I don't know which way to turn. I don't know how to answer this. But if you just give me a little instructions, Lord, I try to be obedient to your heavenly vision. God is calling us this morning with a vision of what we need to be doing for the Lord. Again, Ezekiel 22 and 30. Since I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. At that time he says, but I didn't find anybody. If the Lord was looking among us this morning, this afternoon, if he was looking among us, would he see us as one of them? I've got this question, where are the gap fillers? Something the Lord laid on my heart a long time ago. I'm getting older. I'm not yet hit. Candy, 59 is not that old, honey. I'm not got there yet. I'm a little bit behind you. But when I look around me, I can begin to name prayer warriors that used to stand in the gap. Sister May Tucker, did anybody remember her? Sister May Tucker. Malzuri Dunbar. I'm sure there's others, but I can't call right now. Women that we knew, that knew how to stand in the gap and to help make up that hedge. But they're gone. But I've got to ask this question, who stepped into the gap in their place? Did you and me, are we being the prayer? I don't like to use the word prayer warrior. That seems like that's been so wore out. I was doing a study the other day about the word intercession. And you know what I realized the root word was? To intervene. To intervene. And that just clicked with me. I thought, Lord, somebody needs to intervene. Somebody needs to be the mediator. Somebody needs to be the go-between. To say, Lord, I know they're doing wrong. I know they're not living for you. But, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus, the price that was paid on Calvary for them that Jesus paid. Have mercy on them, Lord. Deal with them once again, Lord. We need intercessors. We need interveners. To run intervention for our loved ones, for our nation. That is our call this morning. We once knew this in Jude. This is something else that just seems like a theme that God just stays on my heart. Many times it comes back. Jude, verses 3 and 5. Jude, writing at that time, said, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this. Church, we knew one time how to get a hold of God. Come on. We knew one time how to get a hold of God. Who hasn't heard the stories told?
forgive me.
Lord, stir us this day. Stir us, Lord. Stir us, Lord, to be the intercessors, to be the gap fillers that you've called us to be. I was doing a little more studying the other day, and I ran across, I thought, well, Lord, I love biblical examples of what you've called us to do. And I know that you spoke to Ezekiel about standing in the gap. I know that Daniel was an example of someone standing in the gap. But then as I was studying the other day, I ran across Anna. Anybody remember Anna and Luke? And the Bible said that when the baby Jesus was brought into the temple, there were two individuals, Simeon and Anna, that were there. And the Bible said that Anna, Simeon, was led by the Lord, by the Spirit, to come in and to said he could witness who this was. But then he said, then there was one Anna, a prophetess, that had served the Lord, the Bible said, from her youth in prayers and fastings. And it dawned on me, she was a gap filler. She was interceding on the behalf of the nation at that time because Jerusalem was in the same kind of shape that we're in today. Hello? And I believe that she was praying, Lord, how long? How long are you going to let us be oppressed by our enemies like this? How long are you going to let these laws be passed, the killing of innocent babies? How long? In fact, it was so bad during those days that they proclaimed Caesar Augustus a god. Does that ring a bell with anybody right now? You've seen it on Facebook, ain't you? Uh-huh. Obama. Well, I won't say no more. We need to be interceding, church. But when we intercede, we need a right attitude. We need a right attitude about doing this. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Again, a familiar passage of Scripture that we hear. We've read it. We probably know it by heart. It's just before the Lord's Prayer. And I've often wondered, Lord, why? Let me read it to you. And it came to pass that as he was praying, Jesus, in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, for the first time the other day, that struck me odd, Michelle. The reason being, here these men were Jews. If there was anybody who knew how to pray, hello. They knew the words, they knew the formula, they knew the rituals, they knew the positions, kneeling, standing, prostrate, you name it. They knew how to do it. They knew when to do it. Why would they ask Jesus to teach them how to pray? Because they needed an attitude adjustment. And they were saying, Lord, teach us how to pray. Church, we need to learn how to pray. There's something else the Lord laid on my heart. Where too many times we're told, be forceful. Remind God of his promises. But do you ever hear someone say, come before the Lord in meekness, in humility, seeking the face of God? The Bible says with prayer and supplications. You know what the definition of those words are? To beg. I distinctly remember hearing teaching years ago that we were never supposed to beg. Hello, anybody else heard that? But the definition of the word. All about attitude, church. That's what they got in trouble. The Israelites or the Jews in the fast chapter, Isaiah 58, when I read to you. He says, wherefore have we fasted, said they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we prayed? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? God said, behold, in the days of your fast, ye find pleasure, exact all your labors. Behold, he said, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. He goes on, he says, is this not the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness? To undo the heavy burden? To let the oppressed go free and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? And when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh?
Now, when I hear teachers going over that anymore, they're saying, well, God's saying you don't have to fast anymore. You just have to do these acts. I'm telling you, this is what you fast for. He was telling them, says, this is the proper reason to fast. Not to get your opinion established. Not to make your voice heard on high. Not to point the finger and say, well, deal with sister so-and-so. Deal with sister so-and-so. Deal with brothers. No. He says, you need to fast for the chains to be broken, for the sick to be healed. Hello. To minister to the hungry. We need to be fasting for those reasons. I challenge you to read the rest of Isaiah 58, because it begins to tell you of all the blessings that you will receive for fasting and praying for the right reasons. Do you realize that the Bible tells us that Jesus in Mark 9:29 said that some things only go out by prayer and fasting? Could that be why? I'm just asking a question. Could that be why we're not seeing more marvelous works in the house of God than what we're seeing today? We have lost our foundation of fasting and prayer and seeking the face of God. Where are the gap fillers today? Where are those that are seeking the Lord today? Again, as Ezekiel looked, was being used by God, and God was looking over the land. I believe God's looking over the land. You know how many know that He said, the Bible says that when God looks at the earth, that it shakes? We've been having more earthquakes than ever recorded during human time. Even the volcanoes are getting stirred up. We've got so many signs going on out there, it's hard to keep up with them. I believe the Lord is looking over the land once again. And He's again asking that question. He says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. I want to ask you today, what will be the answer to that? Don't look for somebody else to be the one to stand in the gap. What are we going to do? You and me. You and me. Are we going to start standing in the gap? Intervening for the innocents. The innocent people in our country that we need to stand in the gap for. What about that sinner that God's dealing with? We don't want him to get cut off too soon. We need to be standing in the gap. Where are the gap fillers? Church, that's what God laid on my heart. This is our call. We are called to pray and intercede on the behalf of those we come in contact with, seeking the face of God. Are we going to fulfill that calling? It's something that kind of stirs, it shakes our foundations. It stirs our nest. Makes it a little uncomfortable. Because when you come in from work for the day, you can't just sit down and go Facebooking. Bear in my heart here. You know, can't wait. Get up in the morning, first thing I do. I did. I flip on that computer. I say, is anything going on? I'm looking for a news post. I expect to hear something any day. I turn on that computer and I say, what kind of news is out there now? I get home from work and I run to the computer and I turn it on. I says, has anything happened? Is there any earthquakes I don't know about? Is there a war broke out? I've got so I don't even turn the computer on first thing in the morning. Now, that's a big break for me. Hello? We won't even get into Candy Crush. We won't go there. It's a game, people, that's on the Facebook. I got to playing it. It's like a tic-tac-toe. I got to playing it. And I was looking at the women in the choir. And there was two women with dark. One was a bright color. And I was moving her to get three in a row. I said, oh, that ain't good. I quit. I said, Lord, break that bondage right now. Yeah. Hey, I got to hearing anybody. Come on, be honest. Anybody ever done it? Anybody play the music? The music is hypnotic. Come on, I got to hearing it. Yeah, I cut that out. Why? Because I didn't want to fall into bondage with that. Now, I'm joking. But this is no joking matter. Jesus is coming soon. Things are getting ready to take place. I believe in 2013 is going to be a pivotal year. I believe we're going to begin seeing things that we thought we would never see in our lifetime. Are we going to be prepared, church? Let's stand. Every time I'm asked to minister, I think, well, I'm going to start out real quiet and soft-spoken. I'm sorry. That's just not me. It ain't in me. I try. Father, Lord, I know, God, that you see each one of us that's here this afternoon. You see our need. You see our heart. You see our desire. I pray, Lord, that our desire will be in line with your will. That, Lord, if it hasn't been up to this time, that after today, Lord, our desire, Lord, will be to seek your face, to hear from you. Teach us, Lord. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to fast. Lord, teach us how to stand in the gap and make up the hedge for this appointed time, Lord. Father, we believe that you're coming soon. And we believe, Lord, that this world is rocking and rolling. Things are happening. Lord, help us as children of light. Help us as your daughters tonight. That we will prepare. That we will know what we ought to do in this day. Father, we'll give you the honor and the glory and the praise for all things. In Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if there's anybody out there. You have a prayer request pertaining to this. And I hope and I pray somebody's not spoken. I hope and pray something's been ministered to me. I know I'm different. But you just gotta love me. Gotta love me anyway.